This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a football feeding frenzy. After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I know we say this every year, and this is what the NFL has become, but it is so all-encompassing. Sure, there are other things going on. Sundays in the NFL season in general, anything can happen. And oh, does it.
Play action. Back to pass. Gonna go long. He's got Benjamin out there, and he caught it! 10-5! Touchdown!
You want to know why Roger Goodell's job is not in jeopardy? Because we cannot stop consuming the NFL. It's because you cannot predict what will happen from week to week, from game to game. Hell, you can't even predict what will happen from half to half in the NFL.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I hope you had an awesome Thanksgiving. I hope that it was everything you wanted and that you got to spend a bunch of time wearing sweatpants or yoga pants or your comfy jeans and some slippers. And as for me, it was a few days of just unplugging and being away and spending time with family members I hadn't seen since the summer and no makeup or jewelry for 3 days. It was awesome. You women out there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So it was good. And I left my brother's house at 5:40 a.m. on Sunday. And I drove, beat the traffic, beat the worst of the weather. That same weather that you saw for the Giants-Packers game, that's about 15 minutes from my house. And so we got the snow, and then we got the sleet. And then there was driving rain on the way into work. And then it was a brief lull, only for the storm to rebuild, because apparently there is more planned for the Northeast coming up on Monday into Tuesday. So we've seen a lot of the snow in the West, way out West, like for instance, on Thanksgiving, all kinds of big cities like Denver getting just blown over with snow. And then the upper Midwest as well, where my Grammy lives, Wisconsin, but lots of places in the upper Midwest, there's been snow in a good portion of the United States, even though we're early in December. Now it's the Northeast turn to get some snow. And I know that a lot of other places have had wind and rains and thunderstorms. We talked about the rain and wind in Baltimore. And so it's been some wild weather, even as we head into late fall. It's not even winter yet. Part of the holidays, right? There's always the weather considerations when we travel. And now we have a few weeks left before we gear up for Christmas week and more traveling. Ah, I'm so happy I'm not going anywhere. So a couple of things. We're going to get to your calls this hour. I want to make sure that we have a chance to talk to you. We're asking you, how many teams do you think should make coaching changes? Even though we still have a month to go in the regular season, somewhere you can see the writing on the wall. And the coolest thing I saw on Sunday, which actually has nothing to do with football, just wait. I'll do that before we hit the end of this first segment here this hour, but it's pretty amazing. I did tweet it already, but I want to make sure I highlight it because it was awesome. You hockey fans, you will appreciate it, I'm sure. But I feel like the rest of the sports world needs to mimic some type of operation like this one on Sunday. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams, and for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Again, we're asking you our coaching change questions, so be sure that you find that on our Facebook page. And then we're going to take some calls, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We will have no winless teams in 2019. I'm so happy for Zach Taylor, for Andy Dalton, for the Cincinnati Bengals. We'll get to that after the break. Also, the Jets with their dubious history. The Eagles, they kind of deserve a piece of recognition on that island where we're talking about streaks of futility as well. But a couple of teams that have seemingly turned a corner. Now, in one case, all that this team desires is still available. In the other case, it might be too little too late, but if they're going to get some help, they need to put themselves in position to do so. All right, so you've got a bunch of teams, obviously, who are harboring playoff hopes, postseason dreams. Some teams control their own fate. Other teams do not. And as we head through this final 5 weeks of the regular season, so week 13 being the fifth to last week, I don't even know if that's a phrase, being the fifth to last week of the regular season, we already knew that the Los Angeles Rams were in a position where they weren't going to control their own path. And that's partly because of the division they play in, which is also the Niners and the Seahawks, but it's also because of how bad they've played. At times, I've wanted to issue an APB, an all-points bulletin for the Rams offense, because it's been non-existent, absolutely smoked by the Niners recently, right? And so to kind of figure out how they can make things better, to figure out if they can turn a corner, if they can even stay relevant. You do not want to finish up the regular season on what has been such an embarrassing stretch for the offense. So remember, they lost at Pittsburgh by only scoring 12 points. They did beat the Bears, but the offense struggled against Chicago. 6 points is all they put up against the Ravens. It was the Ravens that I was thinking of. As for the 49ers, they only had 7 points in that game. That was earlier in the season. They've really had trouble at times generating offense. And this is a team that last year was flying up and down the field. Yes, Todd Gurley was making all that money, but it was about Jared Goff and it was about his receivers. The high-octane, high-powered passing attack. It was one of the big stories of 2019. Yeah, not so much in 2018. And so what the Rams really wanted to do was somehow find some consistency. And they were able to do it against a division opponent. And this is huge. I know that Arizona has caused some fits for some teams. They're not going to end up with a winning record. They're still early in this Cliff Kingsbury, Kyler Murray connection. But who cares who your opponent is? What the Rams most need to worry about right now is themselves and finding that rhythm so that they can turn things around here in the final month.
From the goal line, it's Gurley again, searching for a lane. He's pushing the pile to the goal line. Touchdown, Todd Gurley. Touchdown, L.A. Goff has a shotgun snap, looking right all the way. He spins one to the goal line, and a toe tap by Cooper Kupp for the touchdown. Touchdown, L.A. Jared Goff couldn't have walked it down there and placed it any better. Cooper Kupp brings it in to take the lead to 26-0. Murray fakes the draw. Back to throw. Pressure in his face. This one is intercepted at the 30-yard line. Down the left side. Return for a touchdown. The third time's a charm for Taylor Rapp. The rookie scores it for LA. And this one's out of hand.
Yeah, it was definitely better. We all were. I think it's a full team effort. I think just keeping your head down, putting in work over time will always pay off, and today we saw that.
So Jared Goff has the type of bounce back game that quarterbacks can dream about. The Rams were up 20-0 at the half against the Cardinals. He had 323 passing yards before halftime, which is, nerd alert, the most for any quarterback since Matthew Stafford going back to week 11 of 2013. So we're talking about 6 years here since a quarterback has had such gaudy numbers in the first half of a game.
That's nerd stuff.
It is. And Jared Goff desperately wanted to see the ball and his receivers and the offense click as well as it did. He goes 32 of 43 for the game. 424 yards, a couple of touchdowns, but most importantly, no turnovers. And how about this? 549 yards of offense. That's a lot more indicative of the offense they were a year ago. Though, of course, when you think about the inconsistencies, you need to see them do it maybe 2 weeks in a row. Maybe can they do it 3 weeks in a row? The defense pitched in as well. An interception off Kyler Murray and 6 sacks. And so in this NFC West battle, not only do the Rams come out on top, but they kind of batter the Cardinals to the point where you could see it in the body language.
From the jump, you know, we just kind of were flat. You know, they obviously came out with more energy than us. They wanted it more. They played harder than us, and can't do that against a good team. You know, you get beat like that, and obviously nobody in this building or part of this team, you know, wants to feel like that, because it's, you know, it's not a good feeling. So, and I know we're better than that, and we got another opportunity next Sunday.
Well, I don't want to say that we didn't compete. What we put on the field wasn't good enough to deal with a team that, you know, got beat pretty handily on Monday Night Football last week. You know, I would say probably embarrassed, you know, on the national stage. And, you know, this is a prideful group. You know, they're defending NFC champions, and, you know, they got a lot of talent over there. And, you know, when you're playing against a team that's good and used to having the success they're having, you got to be able to play and match the intensity blow for blow, and we didn't do that from the very start.
Larry Fitzgerald and Kyler Murray, and they're talking about intensity, and they're talking about the Rams coming off of an embarrassing game and bringing it. And Arizona should have known that. Arizona should be able to match that intensity, because the Cardinals, while they may not have as much to play for in terms of a spot in the postseason, this is a team that wants to come up with a couple of signature wins and wants to grab some momentum as they headed their first offseason with Cliff Kingsbury and with Kyler. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We'd also seen some stumblings and some bumblings for the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, partly it's the rebuild defense. At times it's been the offense. We know, of course, Patrick Mahomes has been through the injuries, including that dislocated kneecap. My goodness, when I watched him rush for his first touchdown on the ground this season, a 13-yarder, there were absolutely no signs that he'd been lying on the field with a dislocated kneecap that had to be popped back in just a few short weeks ago. Pretty amazing to see how fluid his motion and how well he seems to be operating now. Like, there's no signs of these earlier injuries. Also, it was a bit of a broken down play, or at least a mistake by a teammate that allowed him to rush for those 13 yards and the score.
I mean, I'm not like trying to call him out, but Tyreek, he didn't run the right route. He would have had a touchdown. So, I mean, he was supposed to run a little swing route down the sideline is what I said to him. And I told him, if he didn't want the touchdown, I'll take it. And so he didn't run it the right way, but we found a way to get a touchdown.
So Patrick Mahomes and the defense, of course, for the Kansas City Chiefs coming up in a big way in this game. In fact, pitching a shutout against the Oakland Raiders at half, a pair of interceptions off Derek Carr. And how about this? Kind of cool. Well, maybe we'll let you hear a little bit later on. Rookie safety Juan Thornhill out of Virginia, his first career pick six comes at Arrowhead Stadium with an interception off Derek Carr, a veteran quarterback, in a divisional game. The Raiders don't even score until the fourth quarter and garbage time. Their turnovers, three of them, the 99 yards in penalties. That's like the old Raiders, the Al Davis Raiders, 99 yards in penalties. They were only 1-for-3 in the red zone. So really for the Oakland Raiders, the only bright spot for them was Josh Jacobs and the fact that he was over 100 yards rushing, and also the faces of John Gruden. I can't even stand it sometimes. I need a John Gruden emoji.
I don't know who's making a. I think everybody struggles to a degree in cold weather. That's why a lot of people move south. You know, I got to do a better job helping them. I think it starts with me and ends there. But he's a good quarterback. I think he's got a chance to be great. This wasn't his day. It wasn't our day.
Referring to Derek Carr, of course. Though Josh Jacobs didn't struggle in the snow, but there are a couple of penalties, a missed field goal that the Raiders had in. Just the looks on his face. I know that people call him Chucky, and I guess that's applicable at times. But I love John Gruden on the sidelines because he's highly entertaining. I don't want him to be in a bad mood, but the faces, the facial expressions, they kill me. In the cold weather, Pat Mahomes, over 200 total yards with the two scores. And so this was a lopsided affair as the Raiders fall back to 6-6, but the Chiefs move to 8-4. And man alive, Derek Carr does not like to play at Arrowhead. His stats are so bad, and he really says This one's on me. The turnover is definitely on him. And so as we look at the AFC, now you've got the Chiefs with a couple of games as a cushion in the West Division. And while they're not running away with things, they will likely get to double-figure wins. But they aren't going to have to compete with the Chargers until the last game of the regular season to win this division. They could still get a push from the Raiders, but it helps that they've swept the season series. So they're at 8-4. The Raiders fall two games back. And the Chiefs now can think about, potentially, they can put together a run here, potentially challenging for a bye like they had last year. Remember, they hosted the AFC Championship. But they really can't afford any more stumbles. All right, 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Since I'm running a little bit late, we'll come back with the coolest thing I saw on Sunday. Perfect way to wrap up Thanksgiving weekend. It actually has nothing to do with football, but I need to share it with you. And then we'll jump into some of the other football storylines like Freddie Kitchens and that marvelous t-shirt he was wearing for the Browns-Steelers rematch. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Baby, there's nothing holding me back. You take me places that tear up my reputation, manipulate my decisions. Baby, there's nothing holding me back.
Amy's taking your calls at 855-212-4CBS.
Good morning, Amy. Thank you for taking my call. I love your show. You help keep me awake and alert.
Hey, Amy. How you doing? Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to congratulate you, by the way, that you have been to the program tonight. I woke up about 1-something. Oh. I've been with you ever since.
Hey, God bless you, Amy.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great.
Hey, Amy. I love listening to you.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, Amy. How you doing? First-time caller. Love your show. Love you. Wonderful. In the words of Ric Flair.
Woo!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It was so nice to hear from so many of you with your Thanksgiving wishes. And I say this all the time, but I want to repeat it. I can't possibly respond to all of your tweets because they would kick me off of social media. Also, I don't have that kind of time. But I do read almost everything that you send me. And I do appreciate that you consider me to be someone that you want to wish a happy Thanksgiving to. You don't have to spend your time doing that. So thank you. Thank you for your follows and thank you for your kind words. Right now, though, we're asking you to be a little ruthless. Which coaches do you think should get replaced in the NFL offseason? A-Law Radio, and then it's pinned to the top of our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I wasn't sure if you could find it. You know how sometimes Facebook fools with the information superhighway? And, you know, they're selling your information to the Chinese, so just be careful. I don't know what their algorithm is. Anyway, I think you can see it. If it's pinned to the top of our Facebook page, I think you'll be able to find it there. So check that out. And we'll get to some of your answers coming up. Of course, we were not going to get a coaching change in Cincinnati, but it's really nice that they finally got their first win. You'll hear from Zach Taylor coming up. And in addition to that, the surprises, the teams, I would say, the ones that are supposed to be tanking, quote unquote, the ones that continue to charge hard, the Dolphins, the Redskins, don't tell their locker rooms they're supposed to be losing. I love that. I love the fact that all hope may be lost, and yet they are fools who will continue to fight for it. It's a bit of a paraphrase of a line from Pirates of the Caribbean. All right, so we'll get to your calls here, 855-212-4227. But I promised you this, and I need to share this with you. If you haven't seen it, you've got to check it out on social media. The Hershey Bears, is it a AAA affiliate of the Washington Capitals? So it's their highest minor league affiliate. And in fact, I've been to Hershey many times because I went to Messiah College for my undergrad, which is in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And so Hershey was kind of the closest fun amusement park, cool getaway place. So we went to Hershey a lot when I was in school. And Hershey actually drove right through it on Sunday. It's between me and my brother's house. And so I had no idea this was going on. But they do what's called a teddy bear toss. And at their game on Sunday, as soon as their first goal is scored, fans are invited to throw teddy bears onto the ice. Now, they keep records of how many teddy bears they've collected and how many they get donated each year. I tried to look for this. I don't know for sure, but I'm assuming that they collect these and they distribute them to kiddos at local hospitals, maybe kids who are not going to be able to spend the holidays at home. Maybe they're going through treatments or battling cancer. But they have a ton of teddy bears to distribute, and I'm not exaggerating. A record 45,650 teddy bears thrown onto the ice. A delay of probably 20 minutes in the hockey game on Sunday. And so bravo to you, Hershey Bears, and bravo to you, Bears fans, who showed up and brought, I mean, thousands and thousands of teddy bears of all shapes and sizes. You've got to check out the video on my Twitter, A-Law Radio. I know Brian, who's filling in for Chris tonight, just retweeted it after our CBS. It's raining teddy bears. It's amazing. It's so awesome. And so the Bears are going to bring joy to so many people. And I was so impressed, and it brought tears to my eyes as I was watching it, just thinking about the number of kiddos who are going to be matched with those teddy bears. Or maybe older people, and they just need a spark of joy, something around the holidays that lets them know they are not alone and they're not fighting by themselves. So please check that out on our social media, because it's amazing. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. I really want to get someone from the Hershey Bears on the show so we can talk about this tradition and maybe spread the word. It was awesome.
Stop, Bears.
You could tell. No, not those Bears. You could tell that the crowd was just waiting. They had to wait 9 minutes into the first period before the first goal was scored. And, I mean, you guys have got to see the shower of teddy bears. So check out the video. I'm sure it's on Facebook, too. That's awesome. Now, this is a... It's a connection, at least in my brain, but I certainly know that this time of the year, it's hard for some people. We associate holidays with joy and with peace, but it's also hard when you've just lost someone, right? It's hard when you have a family member or a loved one who's going through cancer. I just happened to find out that two of my friends, one who's an older woman in her 60s and one who's about my age, they're both battling cancer right now. And I've just found out in the last month or so, my mom has a former student of hers who's 19 years old, who currently has a massive tumor that is going through chemo. He's 19 years old. And so the holidays can also be difficult if, you know, we've got people that we love who are facing these types of challenges. Or in the case of Mason Crosby, the kicker for the Green Bay Packers, his family just lost his sister-in-law. 30 years old. She died on Friday morning after battling ovarian cancer. And he was there to kick with the Packers in the snow on Sunday at MetLife Stadium against the Giants. And so he's been flying back and forth. He was with his family for a time over the weekend. He went back to kick in the game. He's, as I read, going to be flying back, or has already flown back, to see his family. I think he's from Texas, and I think they're in Texas. And so his wife and their five kids all stayed behind to kind of be with Mason's brother and the rest of the family. And he's going to be doing the back and forth thing. But it just, as I was thinking about the Hershey Bears and I was thinking about all these teddy bears that are going to bring joy to a lot of kiddos, I just know it's really hard this time of the year because life is hard and the holidays tend to kind of magnify that, especially if we're missing someone or if it's not the same, you know, circumstance that we kind of see other people enjoying their perfect, amazing holidays. And we think, why is it so hard? But we get strength and inspiration from those people around us who fight whatever health challenges, whether it's cancer, whether it's something else. And if you didn't see Mason Crosby's tweet, I actually retweeted that as well. It's a really awesome tribute to his sister-in-law and his brother, and a beautiful photo of Brittany, 30 years old, though. And here he is doing his job as an NFL kicker, and the Packers gave him a game ball afterwards. But you know he's got a heavy heart. You know his entire family, they're kind of torn, right? Because football doesn't matter so much when you've lost someone that you care about and so young. So there's a lot of that all the time in our world. But around the holidays, it tends to get magnified. So you can check out those photos and videos, and maybe they'll bring a tear to your eye too. But that's good. We can help one another and share one another's burdens. And then we're going to get to your calls here coming up. 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
First and 10 at the 17 of the Jets. Dalton fakes a handoff from the pocket, throws over the middle.
Oh,
it is caught
baby.
For a touchdown oh, by Tyler Boyd. Andy Dalton threading the needle between two New York Jets defenders. Second and goal from the 5. Two receivers go out to the left. Dalton catches a shotgun snap. He hands it off to Mixon, and Joe Mixon charges straight ahead and takes it into the end zone. Touchdown, Bengals.
Here you make the call, not the refs. Light up Amy's phone lines now. 855-212-4CBS.
Way to go, Bengals! Shoot, I get this wrong every time. Who dat is the Saints, who day is the Bengals, right? Oh my gosh, I have a friend who's a massive Bengals fan, and every time I do it, whether it's on accident or on purpose, he gets really upset at, like, really upset at me. But they're very similar. I mean, come on. If you're not growing up learning those cheers or those chants or whatever. I just remember the bags over the heads. That was Saints, right? The bags over the heads.
That was the Aints.
That was the Aints. So anyway, congratulations to the Bengals. Congratulations, Cincinnati. I know that for some of you out there, you think it spoils their chances of getting the number one overall draft pick. Who cares? These guys have worked so hard. And for their first-time head coach, this was a long time coming. How about this kind of cool bit of vindication for Andy Dalton, though? After 3 weeks getting benched in favor of Ryan Finley, the rookie QB, I'm not sure that was Zach Taylor's finest moment. Either way, Dalton returns to the lineup. He goes 22 of 37, 243 yards and a score to Tyler Boyd, his favorite receiver, his favorite target. And even though the Jets jumped out to a 3-0 lead, the Bengals scored 17 unanswered points, led the rest of the way, sacked. They got to Sam Darnold and put some pressure on him. They withstood the sacks for their own quarterback and just in general, whether it's ugly, whether it's the kind of game or performance that would not beat any other team, they held a Jets team that had scored 34 points in back-to-back weeks to just a pair of field goals. And so in many ways, for many reasons, this is worth celebrating. And it was kind of fun to hear Zach Taylor in the Bengals locker room after the win.
You can't take this stuff for granted, man.
Yeah,
you don't take these wins. You forgot what this feels like. Now you know.
Yes,
you
sir.
Know what the one end of the spectrum feels like. Now
feels
you know what
good.
Feels like.
Yeah.
You know, for all you guys have fought since April for a moment like this, and we faced a ton of adversity, and couldn't be proud of all you guys. Couldn't be proud of Randy Dalton.
He's our
moment
guy.
For him. Yeah. Resilient, fought through some adversity, bounced back today, led us to a victory.
I see a ring.
Hey, we all know this is just the beginning for us. Guys, we got that big monkey off our back.
Man.
We can all breathe a little bit.
Man.
And now we can go win some more and finish out this thing the right way.
One more game, Bo. We know how hard we've worked all year for this. Yeah. Obviously, we wish it would have came a little sooner, but they all count for one. And so, nice. Zach, congratulations. Your first one as a head coach.
Congratulations to Zach Taylor. That first one, that monkey off their back, little breathing now, and also Andy Dalton, obviously. What a great feeling for him. Just put yourself in his shoes. He loses his job. He comes back. And he leads the team to its first win of the season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. Obviously disappointing for the Jets. They've got company, the Eagles, the Panthers. How many teams do you think should replace their coaches after this season? Do we think that Ron Rivera is on the hot seat with the Panthers? Or has he earned enough equity and credibility? What about, and I would never say this, but I'm hearing it from a ton of Browns fans. Freddie Kitchens, 1 year and out. That's it. He goes from offensive coordinator under Greg Williams to head coach, and then boom, you're done with him. Because a lot of you are writing to me to say they need to make a change in Cleveland. Now, I agree the lack of experience is disconcerting. It's been a detriment for Freddie Kitchens. However, you just keep changing voices and coaches, which is what the Browns have been doing for years, and you're always going to end up in the same place. How many teams do you think should make coaching changes? On Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page, I see David's already got them counted up. He says, the Browns, the Chargers, Anthony Lynn, after they nearly won the AFC West last year? Wowzers. Okay, so the Browns, the Chargers, the Dolphins. Brian Flores just got there. He's not getting fired. The Redskins, who of course already did change from Jay Gruden to Bill Callahan, who's interim. The Giants. So Shermer out after 2 years? So funny. You should see Dave and Brian. Like, I say a team and they either nod or like shake their heads vehemently. And then the Dallas Cowboys. You guys are like twins in there. Thing one and thing two. Okay, let's get you a couple of calls and then we'll see. We'll kind of count up the coaches in here a little bit. Let's see. Let's talk to Mark, who's in Texas. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Hey, I cannot believe all this loser team talk. Him brought the Texans being the Super Bowl champs.
Well,
I spent
the first hour on that. I'm sorry you missed it, Mark. I have a lot of material and ground to cover, and so I don't just do one game for all 4 hours.
The Browns and the loser teams.
Mark.
Come on, let's go.
How about you go back and get the first hour of the podcast, and then you can hear everything I had to say about it.
How about I can't afford a podcast? Maybe just listen to the radio.
How about it's free, Dodo?
Well, free on a computer? I don't have that.
Well, then I guess you're going to have to listen to our final hour when we'll get back to it. Thanks so much for your phone
call.
Public
library has computers.
Wowzers. Sean is listening in San Diego, California. Welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Are you going to complain at me too?
No, ma'am.
Okay.
So, I just want to say thanks for letting me on, Amy. I love your show. I listen every night.
Thank you.
I believe that Freddie Kitchens should be replaced. The reason why I say this was he was given all the tools he needed. Odell Beckham Jr., he was given Jarvis Landry, he was given Baker Mayfield, Nick Chubb, for example, and he still managed to not be on not a winning streak, but you know what I'm saying, like a losing, the word's slipping my mouth, but you get what I'm saying.
Yep. Okay, and?
So I just believe that that's after a year, after given all those tools, he should have been able to produce some results. And I just thought that the results that he's produced so far is not satisfactory of what we expected.
Well, I don't think that it's all the coach. And this is kind of where I come back to, right? So the coach is the leader, and he's never had any experience doing this. And so that's part of the issue, which means that the ownership in the front office, John Dorsey, they need to be more patient because they knew they were hiring a guy who had no head coaching experience. So that's one thing. Number two, when you change a lot of parts, when you start shuffling the lineup as much as they have, well, then very often you end up with this period where guys have to develop chemistry and get to know one another. I agree with you that on paper, they look fantastic, but on paper, that doesn't matter. They have to be able to execute on the field. Now, they've had a lack of discipline this season, which bothers me. They've had a bunch of penalties for late hits or unnecessary roughness. We know about the Myles Garrett situation, even Larry Ogunjobi. Now you've got Freddie Kitchens wearing a shirt that says Pittsburgh started it. And so they've got this defiant attitude. And I think not only does that fuel your opponents, it certainly did. Was it the Titans that beat them by 30 points to start the season? And all the Titans could talk about is how the Browns got all this attention in the offseason. The problem is when you talk the talk, you better damn well be able to walk the walk. And right now they just can't back it up. And so it's this boldness, it's this brash attitude. The problem is it comes across, well, it comes across like cocky with no substance to back it up. So I don't know if maybe he changes his approach. I just know that while the Browns could still have a winning record, they definitely have not lived up to their own internal expectations. But if they change the coach again, all they do is start over again. And that's the problem. That's the problem in Cleveland. They keep changing coaches, changing general managers, changing quarterbacks, and all they do is have this revolving door and merry-go-round.
Yeah, I agree with you on all those points. I was just thinking, like, when you were talking about him wearing that shirt, like, trying to, not in sight, but just by wearing that shirt, like, expecting a reaction.
Oh, yeah.
I agree with you 100% on that. It's just, there's some things where it's better if things are left dead. I think everybody, even on the Browns team, is willing to forget that whole entire situation and just move on with the season. But I can see where you're coming from.
Yeah, I don't know that the Browns are. I think they take his cue from him, and they take his cue from Baker Mayfield, and they take the cue from guys like Myles Garrett. That's kind of the attitude. It resonates from that locker room. But again, as I say, if you're going to talk the talk, you better be able to walk the walk. And right now it's become more of a joke because they're not. Now, this would have been a huge game for them if they had beaten the Steelers on Sunday, but they didn't. And they've just had too many mistakes, lots of penalties all season. They haven't been able to execute. And then there's the whole point of Freddie Kitchens learning how to coach.
Yeah, and just full disclosure, I might be biased about this, but I'm a Ravens fan, so.
No, it doesn't matter. I mean, whether you're a Ravens fan or not, these things are true. I'm not a Ravens fan, and I'm still sitting here talking to you about all the issues that they've got. So, I got you, John. Is that why you called? To pile on?
Yeah.
You do know the Browns beat the Ravens this season, right? I'm sure you know.
Yeah, I was just, like, I forgot to call in the last, but I was going to ask about Lamar Jackson, but I'll just listen to the podcast. I'm like the other guy.
Oh, thanks, John. It's free.
All right.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
855-212-4227. Oh, my goodness. So how many coaches out there do you think should be removed from their positions in the offseason? I'm torn on Cleveland. If all you ever do is change it up, then this is what's going to happen. Nonstop transition. And I get it. Excuse me. You could bring in, I sound like Boomer Esiason, you could bring in a coach who's got, I mean, if you can get one, who's got a bunch of regular season experience, a lot of playoff wins. I mean, I guess you could try to lure Bill Belichick back. The problem is those coaches aren't out there everywhere. And so to make another change, which means another system, which means another leadership voice, which means team members in the locker room getting used to someone different, all it does is set you back. Very rarely does a coach step into a locker room and just boom. I mean, think about the number of coaching changes that have been made over the past couple of years. Well, Matt LaFleur got handed a ready-made team. So he's done well to just kind of stay out of the way, to not change too much, though I do like his work with Aaron Rodgers. But think about Cliff Kingsbury and Zach Taylor and Matt Patricia, even Mike Vrabel. It's just starting to come together now for Tennessee. But you've had so many coaching changes, and the reason they're making changes is because the team was bad. And so there needs to be some patience there to allow these coaches some time. Think about Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco. Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, they take over, and then what happens? They don't have a quarterback, so they've got to put their pieces in place. They've got to find the personnel. They get the quarterback, he gets injured. I mean, it takes time to build. And so, yeah, the process is never or very rarely instantaneous, which is why patience is required. Now, in Dallas, Jason Garrett's had a decade, and they've had some good seasons, but they've also had some very mediocre, very average seasons. And if they can't get over the hump, it feels like Jason Garrett may be on his way out, though I suspect he would get another job again soon. And what about Mike McCarthy? And my point is that coaches with legit experience like those guys, they're not just standing on every street corner. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Spend over here. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.